Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation this morning is our scripture reading in Matthew 9, especially from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. Now I want to tell you something. We get lots of advice here on how to be a good minister. Learn your exegesis. Study systematics. Learn the techniques of good preaching. And don't forget to practice counseling. All kinds of advice are given to us on how to be a minister of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you. If you do not begin by looking through the eyes of Christ, all the techniques and the learning and the erudition and all the degrees and the knowledge will help you not a bit. If we are going to minister to the world, we had better look through the eyes of Christ. How does he see our world? One cannot miss in this text that it deals with a broken world. Deaf and mute and possessed by the demon and all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses. The handicapped are all around us. They're part and parcel of our world, and how does Jesus Christ observe them? What is it like to look through the eyes of Christ? You don't know Jared. He's my grandson. 2 years old and dying of a fatal disease. What is his reason? What is his purpose? Why was he born with a genetic disease? That's always a killer. Why are they in New Britain County Hospital in Connecticut, the children's ward, so misshapen and misformed as you minister there? The only ludicrous thought in your mind is, what a freak show. What do they serve? Why are they alive? What do they tell the church and the world? Do we go with the abortionists? Let's put them out of their miseries like sick dogs. But do they tell us? Do they teach us? Are they there for God, or the world, or the church? They remind us of a fallen world broken by sin. That's what it said when the demon had to get out of the man, and he heard and spoke. In all sickness and handicapped people, there is that dimension of the demonic, a reminder that we are like this because of what Satan has done to our world and to us. Helpless and hopeless. They were helpless. Said they had, as Jesus saw them, no shepherd. They didn't know where to go or what to do. There was no one to help. They were hopeless. They were harassed, bothered, troubled. They were without hope. What can I tell that young lady of 14 in my church in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, whose only motion was to be able to move her head and not to speak, who had a band around her head with a pointer, with a board, with the letters, and that's the way she talked? What was her hope at 14? But if you look through the eyes of Christ, you see. And what do you see? You see a sign for us, a sign of compassion for all. None are lost from his view or for his goal of salvation. He sees in all these people, including my grandson, those who are lost and under the wrath of God, and whose primary need is not physical healing, but forgiveness and renewal, for he is the one who came preaching the gospel, and he gave his life on the cross, and he bore my grandson's sin. And he bore ours. He bore the infirmities of the world. All that the demonic could dump upon us, he bore. Silent, eloquent in his silence, majestic in his Godhead, compassionate even in the deepest of suffering. And he bore it all so that we and they and all men might know we are reconciled to him and our sin is gone and we are his. And he healed all manner of diseases and sicknesses. What do we Lutherans do with all those miracles? The Bible is filled with them, as is our Lord's ministry. Do we go out and Oral Roberts the place? Or do we flee into some kind of allegory? Oh, the leprosy of sin, and the blindness of sin, and the deafness of sin. And just bypass those who cannot hear or see, or walk, or who endure pain endlessly. Or as we see through the eyes of Christ that every miracle of healing he brought was that great eschatological sign. That the moment comes when history intersects eternity, and all the results of the demonic fade away forever. They suffer for the world and for the church. They are great signs to us, all of them, of endurance. When it is beyond endurance, the pain and the racking cough and the lack of breath, and they endure and endure and endure as we are called to endure as his faithful ones. They are a witness to his final denouement and revelation that all that has been wrong will be made right. And they're a witness to the world and to us that we need to look to the only one who has all the answers and all the healing. And apart from him, there is none. They are taught and should be. They are one of the ultimate signs of God's grace in our world. For do you know that the church is addressed
by confronting these people with the gospel. And let me tell you something, they have nothing to offer us. We are a sign in our service to them because they have nothing to give us. And so we serve that which the world would consider useless and worthless. And in doing it, we see through the eyes of Christ. We see what the world cannot see. That in these people, there is for us a sign of servanthood and obedience and surrender and need and compassion.
Didn't I read somewhere? Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. So then, brethren, start looking today. Start looking at the world through the eyes of Christ. See the need and the pain and the hurt. Look with compassion. And then act. Speak with all the learning and the erudition and the techniques and the skills that God has given you. But see through His eyes. His eyes. His eyes. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.